So we haven't talked with Joel Ostrow in a while, the professor of comparative and international politics at Benedictine University. Joel, I thought that May 9th or 10th would be a day we would be talking about what Russia did, and it seemed kind of quiet, didn't it?
Yeah, sure did. If you heard the reports, they scaled back a lot of their parade, particularly the Air Force, no flyovers, no fancy flyovers, no new fighter jets, not only in the central parade at Red Square, but also around the country. Nobody really knows exactly what that's all about, other than, you know, just general underperformance of the military, but that doesn't apply only to the Air Force. No major announcements by Putin there. The day just kind of passed unremarkably.
What's your interpretation of that, Joel?
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say is this is going to go on for a long, long time. And the closer it gets to what looks like a stalemate, the bloodier, the more painful things are going to be. Maybe Putin is counting on, if he counted on Western disunity at the beginning and he was wrong about that, maybe he's hoping that our resolve crumbles as inflation pressures go on, energy pressures go on, food pressures go on. Maybe he's hoping that the rest of the world will start to splinter in its opposition to Russia. I don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But there was nothing. I think he made the calculation it would have been embarrassing almost to proclaim victory or anything like that.
Embarrassing to claim victory, but maybe also embarrassing to stop waging the war, too. You get a sense that even if it's going to fail, and maybe he could see that, he's not going to pull back. It's almost an ego thing. Like maybe invade him again later, but right now this isn't working. A sane person would stop by now.
Well, I don't know that I buy that. What does stopping look like? Withdrawing all of the troops that invaded, but then what about the troops that were already in Donetsk? It would leave them as sitting ducks.
Yeah.
It would be proclaiming a massive defeat and humiliation, and certainly that would not go well for Putin domestically because it would fly in the face of all of the propaganda about Russia's great successes over the last 2 months, 3 months. So he's kind of backed himself into a corner slogging this out. And it is a worry that our focus will waver. That's definitely a concern.
Do you see that? Let's pause here. Answer a couple of questions and we come back. Like, do you see us wavering or NATO wavering? And I wonder what you would say was one of the biggest surprises for Putin. Is it the force of the Ukrainian military? Is it the unity of the West? Is it the sort of citizens that are messing with them left and right? What are the factors that are making this war something that Putin could not anticipate? Joel, what's the biggest surprise to Putin about the way this war is being waged in Ukraine?
Well, I spent that break trying to figure out what the biggest one is, John. Nothing has gone the way he anticipated. Everything has been a disappointing surprise because, you know, whether you want to talk about the strength of Ukrainians' resolve and ability to fight back, the incompetence of the Russian military leadership, the inefficiency and lack of combat readiness of their equipment and forces, their complete inability to manage the logistical situation and supply their troops, the unity of the Western response, the ability of the Biden administration and the United States in general to lead on it, everything has been a loss and continues to be so. Putin was certainly aware of the nature of corruption in his regime around the country. That's kind of how he built it, the classical definition of corruption. You can, line your pockets off the state's coffers get yourself wealthy as long as you don't oppose him politically. The extent to which that pertained in the military and led to these breakdowns and the failure of equipment and the lack of supply has to be, for him, among the top of those most shocking. He really thought that this would be a blitzkrieg and be over in a week, and yeah. It's not going to be really over at all. Those are the biggest shocks to him. The biggest shocks for us still have to be not that Russia's committing human rights abuses, but the extent of them, the continuation of them, that it's expanding, and that it really does fit so many of the components of the definition of genocide. Our ambassador to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, Michael Carpenter, continues to issue reports on the so-called filtration camps where tens of thousands of Ukrainian civilians have been forcibly moved, resettled, beaten, tortured, raped, murdered, and moved from their homes into Russian-occupied territory or Russia itself. Tens of thousands, at least, we don't know the exact number, certainly hundreds, if not thousands, already murdered. He keeps trying to make the United States and Europe keep that front and center, the extent of the war crimes of this campaign. So that should be the most horrifying for us, yeah, and hopefully yeah. We'll keep this in the news. To your first question that you asked about whether we're losing focus, well, you know, the joke I was going to make is, well, you haven't had me on for a week, but if you look at the New York Times or watch the CNN news, you know, Ukraine is slipping from the front page. Other news is coming in as is expected and appropriate and needed. But given the nature of those war crimes, it has to stay in the news. It has to, because public pressure to keep up the pressure on Russia needs to continue.
What do you make of the possibility of Finland joining NATO?
Yeah. Mm. And that fits into that. What is the surprise for Putin? It's not just that we've been unified, but that unity is expanding. So Finland and Sweden joining NATO, it signifies the depth of the threat that Russia poses to those countries that are democratic, part of Europe, part of the European Union, or allied with us. The extent to which Russia is a threat to its near neighbors who are allied with us, particularly if you look at Sweden, which has maintained a long, long posture of neutrality, to urgently want to join NATO, that's all you need to know. And that's partly because Sweden feels the insecurity, but also because Sweden wants to demonstrate its commitment to protecting the independence of Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, right? And indeed of Finland. So in a sense, instead of weakening us, this war that Russia started is strengthened NATO and the West.
Were Finland to join NATO, though, as a bordering country, I wonder if that would escalate things even more.
Well, as Finland's, I believe it was his president or prime minister said, if Putin's got any curiosity about why, all he has to do is look in the mirror. He caused it. Finland had no desire to feel this threatened, that it would want to join NATO. Same with Sweden. Russia's the cause. Russia's the solution.
Yeah. But what is that, Joel? What is the solution? Because just a moment ago you said you don't imagine a scenario where he backs down. That's too humiliating. And it seems like the longer this drags on, the more Zelensky and the Ukrainian people seem not only adamant about the Russian troops leaving, but even leaving the places where they were aiding in anti-Ukrainian fighting.
The regime has to change.
In Russia, obviously.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I understand that, but boy, that's really discouraging, isn't it? Because how is that going to happen?
Well, there are rumors that Putin's going to have cancer surgery.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, he's got some kind of illness, So he's not going to be around forever, but I don't think we can count on that. What is perhaps for me personally most disappointing is the military leadership in Russia has not acted, that they have followed his orders, that they are carrying out this genocidal campaign in Ukraine, which posed no threat, which was not an enemy, with which Russia has no historical enmity or no reason to. Ukraine has reasons to be suspicious of Russia. It's not the first time Russia has meddled there, but there's really no reason for it. Ukraine posed no threat to Russia whatsoever. And so that the military leadership, even if they went along at the beginning, did not reverse course and say no is really disturbing. Russia has a long tradition of a professional military, and so that partly explains the staying out of quote-unquote politics, but there are extraordinary times that call for extraordinary measures, and that's the greatest disappointment. And and it's what makes Russia's military more fearful for the countries near Russia, like Sweden and Finland and the others, because clearly they're willing to go along with unhinged orders.
Yeah, well, you talk about the surprises of this campaign, and I would say, in a way, that would be one of them, even though it's a military operation. I'm out of time. Yeah. We'll talk again maybe next week, Joel. I appreciate your thoughts today.
Thanks so much, John.